Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia, and it's the 3rd of September 2012. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another show. Tonight, we do hope to bring you an interview with Syrian Girl, which we did promise last week. And I've actually been emailing her, and we've had a number of problems due to mistakes with time zones, and I believe we're still having trouble raising her, and my hope was to have it with this show, and we may indeed end up pre-recording it, but please stand by for that, and hopefully we will have her on the line in the second hour of tonight's show. For the first hour, I'm going to get into a little bit of a free-form chat with my friend Damon Crowe, whose office I'm currently sitting in, and I've got my recording equipment set up here. I've recently moved out of my apartment, and I'm currently homeless. And it's an interesting situation, and I feel great, actually. I feel free. And I believe that I should share that feeling with my audience. I believe that it is possible to be free. I think sometimes you've got to do things that you would not normally do. And I'm kind of experimenting with a few of those at the moment. I'm actually heading overseas for a while, but I will be doing Truth News every week with my gear wherever I may be. So my name is Herewood Fenton, in case I didn't already say that. I'm a little tired. I've been doing a lot of heavy lifting for the last couple of days, but my mind has expanded. And, you know, I've just been sitting here chatting with Damon, and we find ourselves talking about the moon landings. Maybe it's because of Neil Armstrong recently dying. I often find when I talk to Damon, we talk about the moon landings. The moon landings to me are one of the most confusing and, you know, generally problematic questions or conspiracies of the modern era. And I have so many questions about it, so many confusions about it, that every time I start talking about it, it goes off in endless new directions, and I never really get anywhere with it. Damon, can you just, you know, make it all clear for me? Did we go to the moon?
Well, of course we went to the moon. How could we get to nearly 50 years from post the event and still have so many unanswered questions? In fact, the questions are nearly logarithmically increasing, not decreasing. And as we start to learn more about physics and science, the questions are really becoming insurmountable, in my view.
Yes, I mean, there are a lot of questions, a lot of individual questions that don't seem consistent with the prevailing view that United States, NASA, and about 10 astronauts, you know, actually did this. They went to the moon, they collected rocks, they had buggies, they were driving around on there. They did it five times, right?
Yeah.
So they got really good at it, right? If you do something five times, it's as difficult as that, right? You really developed a technology.
You've
mastered it. You know what I mean? They mastered the technology, and then they never did it again.
Mm. So
that to me is just unbelievable.
So six trips to the moon, five successful, one, you know, lap around the moon as per Ron Howard's is that the Apollo 13? Is it was that Apollo 11? Apollo 13? Apollo 13? That was the unsuccessful moon mission. Anyway, regardless, they've been up there this amount of time, but they forgot after all these science and experiments and trucking off, you know, the buggy and all this stuff, that there was water up there. Surely you would have realised there was water up there. Why did we find out there's water up there? Why have we found out that all the rocks that we've sent off to all these embassies, apparently we've brought like 300 tonnes of this stuff back, that none of these, or something ridiculous, I don't know if it's that amount, but it's some ridiculous amount of moon rocks. It's probably nothing like that. But a lot of moon rocks came back, but now embassies are finding out, and you can see this in Sydney Morning Herald, papers all around the world in the last few years, that embassies are now realising through their own archaeological studies that the moon rocks that they've been given from NASA, from hand given to them from the astronauts, are fake.
Well, yes, I have a story from a couple of years ago, and I mentioned it on last week's show. We just very briefly touched on it, that it, and I think it was in the Telegraph or something like that. And this was a rock given to the Dutch Prime Minister by Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on a speaking tour. It's actually petrified wood.
Yeah.
I mean, hello, there's something very funny there. I mean,
there's logarithmic questions coming here, right? So the camera they used was a normal Hasselblad camera, normal Kodak film, but there's no ghosting around the edges of the film. Now, anybody who studies the Van Allen radiation belts will find out in the late 40s and 50s when they started post-World War II, when they started doing some serious research into outer space, they threw up a weather balloon, took a Geiger counter up through the upper atmosphere, and, of course, that Geiger counter went off its head as it started to approach, as it approached 1,000 kilometres off the deck. And, of course, it's that radiation belt goes for like 25, 40,000 kilometres, and it gets worse on the second band of radiation, not the first band of radiation. But before even approaching the first band, it had already reached well, first of all, it beeps like you see normal Geiger counters. As it's approaching the band, it starts going doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot, and then basically blows its head off. And as they bring it back down, they then encase it, I think, with a 1 mil lead casing, and then it still went off its head. And then in the late 50s, they came up with a whole bunch of theses about how you get through there, including Dr. Van Allen, and it was basically bordering on 2 meters of water protection at the very least. And would only need 2 meters of water protection, but the Valon radiation belts provide 10 meters of water protection. So somewhere between 2 and 10, and the recent studies of staying on the moon shows that you've got to be something like 30 feet below the moon's surface to survive on long-term durations on the moon. So clearly we've been spun an enormous story on the whole radiation and how you could take film in and out of there, normal Kodak film in and out of there, without having any ghosting effect around the edge of the film.
Can I just interrupt you there? I mean, see, I don't know enough about photography and what you're saying to know that that's true. I believe you, you know, but I just don't know it. So I'm
You can't take film through an X-ray in an airport, let me tell you. You can't take – you put film through an X-ray in an airport, you're going to have some effect. If you go and take something like that through the radiation belts and then take them through onto the moon without encasing them in anything and then bringing them back, they needed to be at least 2 meters of protection.
Yeah, it sounds right. And it sounds intuitively right what you're saying.
Of course, yeah. It's nonsensical, really.
It leads into this whole, you know, realm of questions about the radiation, not the solar radiation and the, you know, particle radiation, right, that they would have been exposed to.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about cosmic rays as well.
Yeah, high-density cosmic rays traveling at the speed of light. They're high-density particles. And if anybody who's even been close to the radiation belts in our own atmosphere, this is approaching, when you get 100 kilometres off the deck, you're in outer space, which is where Richard Branson and the crew are going to. They just pop out of space. It's only 100 k's off the deck, so it's not very far. From there up to 1,000 kilometres is outer space, but that's before you get to the radiation belts. Now, there's all sorts of stuff in that zone, an unbelievable amount of satellites and people and space stations, but nobody
can
goes
I just say,
through
Can I just throw in the devil's advocate
there.
Here? Because the people who believe that we went to the moon, which are many, and many I've met all my life.
Sure, I was one of them.
They will always use what I call the argument from authority, which is very common these days. It's used to basically disprove anyone who doesn't basically toe the line.
Yep.
The argument for authority, of course, is, well, people who are very important say that we did this and you're not very important.
Yeah.
So you know, why should I listen to you? And see, this is actually quite a powerful technique, and I often, you know, fall victim to it myself, because I think, yes, well, you know, these important people say we did it, and they're all lying. And that just seems unbelievable.
That is actually one of the worst offences of all time. That basically then evolves to, well, are you saying all the people that went to the moon are all lying? Well, and the people who are cooperating with them. Well, now you're starting to talk about tens and tens of hundreds of people. You can't possibly having more lying. And that is one of the most feeble arguments of all time. That actually doesn't way up of all, because there is endless evidence to suggest thousands of people can be unwittingly covering up a lie. Most of the people, for instance, certainly would not have known anything about what was going on. There have been a small number of people that were, but the idea that was 350,000 people involved with the Manhattan Project to produce the nuclear bomb, and they managed to keep that a pretty good secret.
Sure,
and if anybody, the Allies or the Japanese, had found out about that, that sort of would have destroyed that, as well as endless thousands of military exercises and science and R&D developments and all sorts of discoveries have been made, with lots of people have found things and no one's ever spilt the beans on it.
But see, that was a secret that was being kept for a short time in order to win a war. And then in the end, the secret was let out.
No one other than a 33-degree Freemason went to the moon. I think they've got that culture has – you have to pass some pretty serious tests, including Ron Howard, who made the movie about Apollo, the unsuccessful Apollo mission, had to reach, I think, at least 32nd-degree Freemason status. So they know a lot about mind control. They certainly know a lot about secrets. They've been keeping secrets for thousands of years. These guys are the experts in this. I mean, your average two-bit hypnotic magic show act can make the average adult cluck around the local RSL room. These people with psychotropic drugs and very, very complex mind control programs and techniques can make people participate in things unwittingly, knowing that they're being under any manipulation.
Yeah, and of course, these techniques date back to the early 1950s.
Yeah.
And they were quite sophisticated even back in those times. Now, Damon, did you happen to catch a little documentary, well, kind of a video that was made by the hypnotist Derren Brown, where he demonstrated that he was able to actually create, through public hypnotic sessions that were all filmed, he was actually able to create a mind-controlled assassin. I mean, this is quite an extraordinary little piece. And, of course, Derren Brown has a television show and he's a hypnotist, and it's, you know, you could say, well, it's a little bit kind of cheesy entertainment, but he is a genuine hypnotist. And I was quite amazed when I saw this, because I thought, I didn't know whether it was going to, how it was going to turn out. And this is the way it was presented. He was saying, can I create a mind-controlled assassin? Okay, we're just going to break. Please stay with us. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're having some moon talk here, which could go in any direction. Don't go away. I hope you enjoy the show. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Change gonna come. Oh, yes,
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to have your company today. Now, as I was saying before the break there, this little documentary that Derren Brown made had the goal of creating a mind-controlled assassin. And it was all using the techniques that Derren Brown uses in public with an audience. And he groomed his candidates from the audience and went through a number of procedures to find the ones that were the most likely candidates, the ones that were the most responsive, the ones that were the most suggestible. And it goes through quite a lot of phases as he kind of weans them out to find the best possible candidate. And then he trains them to do certain things under certain prompts. And he gets them, in one case, firing a water pistol. And then at a certain point, he swaps the water pistol for a real gun. And in the end, and these are just ordinary folk, and it does look real. Of course, the whole thing may be completely fake. Maybe Derren Brown's a fake, the whole thing's fake. But the outcome of his show was, yes, you can take an average person, provided they are hypnotically suggestible, and not everyone is to the same degree hypnotically suggestible, but you can take an average person who normally wouldn't go around killing someone and turn them into a mind-controlled assassin. Now, that's just an incredible thing to say. And I was actually a little surprised because I thought, considering this is a fairly mainstream show, he'd probably end up saying, oh, no, that could never happen. Because he paid tribute to a lot of the conspiracy theories about the assassination of Robert Kennedy, and he speaks about that in the show. And he's actually talking about how people have said that Sirhan Sirhan was possibly mind controlled, and he actually takes that as his classic case. And he actually, in the end, when he creates his assassin, he engineers a situation very similar to that, and he has the assassin actually shoot someone who is actually a public figure, and can't remember the name of the actor, but it's a well-known actor, a British actor, who is at a speaking event in London, and he gets his subject to pull a gun out and shoot him. Mm. Of course, the gun isn't really loaded, but the actor has been forewarned and pretends to be shot.
I believe we're all under some degree of mind control. It's just the amount of mind control that we're under. But if anybody wants to see how people react under very deep mind control, deep subconscious mind control, then have a look, and you can just YouTube it, when Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins and Armstrong return after the greatest achievement that any human has ever achieved, and it is the most strangest, somber event, full of so much regret, of so much embarrassment. If you achieved what we are led they achieved, then you would have been so ecstatic. You would have been leaping out of your skin. If you've just won the premiership for Geelong, and you're greeting a press conference, you could not contain yourself on what you had just seen, what you had just witnessed. These people would have been ecstatic, but instead, they can't remember basically anything. They can't remember seeing any stars. One of the very first questions from that very English man who said, do you remember seeing the corona of the sun? And do you remember seeing stars? And we got this very slow, drawn-out, embarrassed response from Armstrong. And Michael Collins quips, I don't believe we saw any stars at all. In no atmosphere.
Let's play a little of that conference here. Mm. And this is just a short clip. I'm not exactly sure which part of it.
Followed by question and answer. At this time, I'd like to introduce the Apollo 11 crew, astronauts Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Edwin Aldrin. Neil?
It was our pleasure to have participated in one great adventure. It's an adventure that took place not just in the month of July, but rather one that took place in the last decade. We all here and the people listening in today had the opportunity to share that adventure over it.
They don't look very happy. You can't actually see the video there, Damon. I'll just turn it around.
No, I've seen it plenty of times.
Yeah, you've seen it. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm just looking at it here. They
amazing.
They
looks
look
on their faces.
pretty darn miserable. Let's just continue here.
It's developing and unfolding in the past months and years. It's our privilege today to share with you some of the details of that final month of July that was certainly the highlight for the three of us of that decade. We're going to
Wow, that's a really convoluted kind of weird turn of phrase there, isn't it?
Does not sound completely scripted, and he's one of the poorest actors you've ever heard. Here is the script that
the
you have
final
to say,
month
Buzz,
of July.
And he's trying to force this script out, and it is the most awkward, non-natural. Would you not be euphoric? Would you not be leaping out of... Would you be literally having difficulty containing yourself right now?
Well, you'd be smiling a lot, wouldn't you?
Would you not? Could not wait to tell the world.
These guys aren't smiling. There's no smiling.
They have a tail between their legs, and they look very, very remorseful, as if they have been caught doing some unspeakable act, which, of course, is what they have been caught. They know that this is going to be caught. They cannot possibly look anybody. Nobody wants to give eye contact. Have a look at the way they're fidgeting with their hands.
Fidgeting and looking down.
Exactly.
Like naughty boys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does anybody who knows anything about basic human behavior has a look at this and look like these people have achieved the greatest achievement personally and collectively as a human race ever? I don't think so. This looks like they are covering up something of biblical note, and that is going to be carried with them for the rest of their lives. But at a conscious level, they may not completely understand it. It seems like this is at a very, very deep level. I'm not sure that I believe these guys are fully conscious of what they are doing. I really don't know. But it seems as though they are. This has been conditioned at a very, very deep layer, and stepping outside and just revealing what did happen, I think it went to certainly Armstrong's grave, and I think he has great difficulty, as they all have great difficulty talking about it. If you just prompt these guys in the street and start talking about the moon and have some serious questions, watch the fireworks explode.
Let's just keep playing this, see if there's anything interesting that they do have to say.
A little bit from the format of past press conferences and talk about the things that interested us most, in particular the things that occurred on and about the moon. We will use a number of films and slides which most of you have already seen.
Okay. And it's kind of boring.
With the intent of pointing out some of the things that we have...
You need to get to the very first question when...
The actual question and answer...
The response will go down in history as one of the most famous responses of all time.
Yeah, we might try and get into some of that. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're just doing a moon probe and... But we're sort of looking at this question of mind control, because obviously if it was fake, there was a lot of mind control going on. It wasn't just the general population was mind controlled. It was the astronauts and a lot of other people associated with it. You're with Truth News Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
How low were you willing to go? you reach all your selfish goals. Punchline after punchline, leaving us all.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. My name's Herewood Fenton, it's great to be with you today. You can find the website at www.truthnews.com.au and you're most welcome to leave a comment there. We've had some very long comment threads on one of our articles actually that I posted about chemtrails. We don't actually get inundated with comments on the site, but this one particular topic has just gone on and on and on, and it's, we're going to have to do another show on chemtrails again. I'm a skeptic, as I've said many times, and it annoys people. But I mean, I'm a skeptic, you know. Like, it doesn't mean I don't believe it. Like, when I say skeptic, it means yes, maybe, but where's the evidence? But look, we're not going to go down that path tonight. I want to stay orbiting the moon, if we may. And, I mean, let's just play a little more of this clip. This is actually from the press conference that was held directly after Apollo 11. And we've got Neil Armstrong here describing some things.
...observed on the spot, which may not be obvious to those of you who are looking at them here from the surface of Earth. The flight, as you know, started promptly. And I think that was characteristic of...
Were they even on it?
...of all the events of the flight. The Saturn gave us one magnificent ride. Both into Earth orbit and on a trajectory to the moon. Our memory of that actually differs little from the reports that you have all heard from those previous Saturn V.
I think I've just picked up on something here, Damon. If you listen to his phraseology, he is using distancing words from what he's describing. Our memory differs little from what you heard.
Yeah.
Well, what the heck does that even mean? He's not actually saying, hey, we went to the moon.
Yeah.
You know, he said that the Saturn gave us a huge boost. But did you go to the moon? Well, he's not saying that. You know, he's actually saying a lot of things which are probably completely true.
Yeah,
and he looks to me like a guy that would have a lot of trouble with telling lies. He seems to be one of, and I know he did very little press conferences. He did very little interviews because, well, if indeed he is part of a giant, you know, hoax,
absolutely,
he probably has tried to not tell lies by speaking in this kind of distanced
mode. I think he's a really good guy, right? That's been asked to do an unspeakable act, and I think that that he's taken that to his grave and it has burdened him enormously. I mean, Buzz Aldrin, old Buzz Lightyear, he ended up being an alcoholic. You ever see Collins these days? He's a fruitcake. I mean, most of these people look like they could not run an ice cream van, have difficulty constructing sentences. They're literally... I mean, it's someone who went to the moon, I reckon you'd be living a fairly satisfied existence. Would you end up being an alcoholic? Why? You've just achieved one of the greatest achievements. Who could beat an achievement that you've achieved? The reason you turned into an alcoholic is because you're an absolute liar and that you've had to lie to the human race, and that is a burden that has taken you to alcoholism. And the reason you don't speak to anybody in the case of Armstrong is that you have been asked to do the most unspeakable act, and I don't feel like talking to someone like someone such as a pedophile case, and I don't want to talk to anybody ever again. I've done what I said I was going to do. I've fulfilled my end of the bargain. Now just leave me alone.
Yeah. Of course, there was a whole lot more people than him, and they're not all alcoholics.
Well, most of them are fruitcakes. I mean, right. How could you come up to a guy that's been to the moon? I'd imagine you have to be fairly intelligent, right? You'd have to have an astrological IQ, I would think. But how would you not know when you got quizzed about whether you went through the Van Allen radiation belts? He says, I don't know what they are. If you're saying we had to go through them to get to the moon, then I guess we must have gone through them. But I don't remember going through them. Now, how is that a response? This doesn't make any sense, right? These guys are the elite of the elite. Surely you'd know about the Van Allen radiation belt. Surely you'd twig that when you go through there, you're going to get particles rushing through your head. You'd remember going through the Van Allen radiation belts, because anybody who's ever been in the space station, who even just touches the edge of this thing because of the South Atlantic anomaly where it droops down a little bit below the 1,000-kilometre mark, you get whacked in there all the time. And that's something that's very memorable. In fact, now they've released plenty of articles that suggest that that they've underestimated how severe the radiation belts actually are, which of course they never did, because if you read anything out of the 40s and particularly the 50s, they told you needed 3 feet of lead or 2 meters of water at least to go through them. Now that's the easy bit. Getting out the other side is far more damaging than getting to the radiation belts. The fun starts when you get to the other side.
And once you're out beyond them, then you are completely subjected to all of this radiation that comes from the universe, including particles and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Now, of course, what you were talking about there was, I believe, Buzz Aldrin had said that he didn't know, or that was Buzz Aldrin, or one of them.
Another guy that goes around and interviews these guys.
Bart Sabrell. Yeah, the one
to the houses and
the one with the Bible.
Yeah, but he also did one with the great video footage of them in the space capsule when they were meant to be very, I think, within 10 hours of actually getting onto the moon or something similar. They are actually faking shots of the Earth from inside the lunar module.
Yeah, I've seen some of that.
That is just damaging like that. And he plays the video footage and they all, every single one, I mean, I haven't seen if there's any more than what he showed, but all the people that he showed in the video, and there's quite a few, go absolutely catatonic. And Buzz does go freaky. He goes completely mental. And Buzz Aldrin defends it by saying we're just passengers. You know, we didn't put the flight together. If you want to talk about people putting the flight together, you need to go and talk to NASA. We are just passengers.
Yeah.
Now, I would have thought they were astronauts, right? But he is diminishing his responsibility by his response by saying, we are just passengers. Now, we are just passengers. So is that the sort of thing you'd say if you'd been to the moon?
No.
Is that the sort of thing that would come out?
Would
you get really hostile and threaten legal action and get all dance around the office and get very evasive and very – just because someone showed you a video. If someone showed you a video of you faking footage of the Earth that looked like you were further away than what you actually were, would you not have a bit of a laugh and explain that in a very matter-of-fact way exactly what went on and had a bit of a giggle at the interviewer's expense? Now, these people are clearly annoyed. They are very, very upset at a very deep level to the point they're willing to throw punches. Now, if I'd been to the moon, I don't care, quite frankly, Harold, whether you drop your trousers in front of me, whether you call me any name under the sun, I would be content in the knowing that I'd been to the moon, and I would laugh, scoff, and be somewhat.
Well, I mean, look, I have seen some of this footage.
By anybody asking me any question whatsoever about the moon.
I've seen this film that you're referring to, and, you know, the last guy who went to the moon, my name escapes me. The very final mission, he interviews...
The final lie, yep.
That one. And look, the guy isn't too hostile. I mean, like not everyone's hostile to him, but Bart Sabrell's comes across as being a creepy kind of guy, and that
sure you've been to the moon though. You think you've overcome a few obstacles in your life.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to provide a different perspective here on it, right? Because Bart Sabrell, and this is part of, I believe. Well, look, let me just describe it to you. That those films, that guy comes across really badly. Because he's running around with the Bible and he's saying, swear on the Bible, swear on the Bible, right? So,
but sure, if you're a religious person, then that should be a very easy thing to go and do.
Well,
I mean,
maybe not. I mean, maybe people find that annoying.
Out of all the villains here, the fact that you've just lied to the human race is a far more sinister act by a factor of a million to one than going away and rather than his interviewing techniques. I mean, what about the 20th of July? That's the first day of the Egyptian calendar, and you know they love the Egyptians and Akhenaten and so forth. So July 20, they get right off on July 20. It's a very critical date for them. Yeah, it's the start of the Egyptian calendar, and the whole thing is just riddled in Masonic and occult symbolism. It's just dripping with it from head to toe. And I've got no doubt the people that are portraying the acts upon us today, which are terrible beyond one's belief, are the same people who pulled off the fake moon landings and the same people who pulled off 9/11, World War I, World War II, and the soon coming financial crash and other catastrophes.
We just have to leave it there. Yeah, look, I don't know. My head is spinning and I'm projectile vomiting. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We will be right back after this break. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It is excellent to be talking to you today. We're just ruminating on questions about the moon landings. Somewhat inspired by the death of Neil Armstrong. I mean, there's a lot of really important world-breaking news that we can and should be covering. and I do apologise for perhaps, you know, delving again into this subject. But the point of Truth News is actually to stimulate your mind, to get you thinking. And I just want to make it clear, like, I don't want or need the moon landings to be faked. I have no need. It's not like I'm trying to be clever. It's not like I'm trying to prove I'm smart. And I admit I'm confused about it. I don't really know the truth.
I prefer we went there.
I would prefer it if we went there too. I mean, like, you know, It really gets you down when you start to realize you've got major doubts about certain things that are the very fabric of our narrative, yes, of our history. It gets you
down.
The
underpinning of society, the very cornerstones, the very foundations of your belief system are underpinned by these so-called events which just bring up more questions than answers, and it's riddled through history because it's World War One, it's World War Two, it's Vietnam, it's 9/11. But then you just go through the French Revolution, you go back and to all the religions, all the man-made creation religions, in my opinion, and then you get back to the Egyptian period where apparently they're building these incredible structures that are meant to be fit, you know, tombs for the gods, which is, they're astrological devices, and they're riddled all around the world. So to me, it's just the propensity of the lie and the longevity of the lie and the depth and breadth of the lying is on a magnitude that is it's just staggering. And there's nothing these people won't do. They will do the most outrageous daylight robbery. They'll play around with your thoughts and your life unless you're willing to ask questions. And if you take the authority standpoint as a starting position, then you are fair game for these people. And if you're willing to ask serious questions, which you have every right to, and you feel guilty about it, then we've got some serious issues, in my opinion. You should not have to feel guilty about asking legitimate questions.
Can I just take this moon thing from a different angle? We've been looking at just a few questions and a few scientific issues that you've raised, Damon. I just want to go back to looking at the perspective of history again, and why it is that the moon accomplishment of going there seems to be different to anything else that we've done in our history as humanity. I mean, look at, say, crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the discovery of the New World. The first time it was difficult, you know, and once Columbus went there, though, pretty soon more ships were going. And then pretty soon ships were going there all the time, and it became a very, very straightforward thing after a generation or two that you know, ships were sailing across to the New World.
Sure, so why haven't we been to the moon 50 times and back? Well, it's clearly much more difficult. And the ridiculous answer we get from the people who propagate the propaganda.
Well, they say it's too expensive.
Rubbish. It's the expense is directly related to the energy, and all the energy has been spent getting out of the atmosphere. Once you're out of the atmosphere, you can wander off. If it's so easy to wander through the Valon radiation belts, you can wander off wherever you like at that point, because all the cost and all the energy has been spent. But of course, no one goes to the moon, including the Russians, who sent an unmanned spacecraft to the
moon. That's a very interesting point. Actually, that's a good point.
Because you cannot get through the Valon radiation belts, which provide 10 metres of water protection from the harmful rays from outside. So even if you're not religious, you should be feeling somewhat spiritual in the fact that somehow floating out here in this very delicate blue bubble, we're protected by 10 metres of water or 3 metres of lead. But water's far more protective from radiation than lead, because water absorbs those particles, where lead tends to bounce them around, like being inside inside a cage where things are ping-ponging around. And the last thing, by the way, you'd send astronauts through to the moon is a steel can, because those particles will bounce around inside that aluminum or aluminium.
Another thing, if we can just return to sort of the human part of this, the human psychology part of this, isn't it incredible that after, you know, 10 astronauts went there, and interestingly, no astronaut went there more than once, but, you know, 10 went, right? And then now they're all old men, and they're all going to die soon, right? None of their learning, none of their hard-won achievements have been passed on to the next generation. No, in this case, unlike anything else that's ever occurred in history, we're just going to let these people die with that achievement and not pass it on. There was no handover, no handover at all. That, to me, is just unbelievable. That is not the way any organization works.
If we'd been up there half a dozen attempts by the 70s, and now it's 2012, well past Stanley Kubrick's Space Odyssey 2001, which, by the way, had nothing to do with 2001, but it did happen to land on 9/11 in 2001, you know, no one's been back. No one.
And have you seen
billions,
those lunar
trillions of dollars floating around the economy? I mean, we've got an economy that's $70-80 trillion in gross domestic product a year. We've got everything known to man flinging around in orbit, and we can't send a cat, a budgerigar,
because it's too expensive.
Really, but it's no problem for us to send out Voyager to the edge of the heliosphere.
Or the LRO. But have you seen the photos from the LRO? Have you seen those photos of the Apollo landing sites?
No, I've got to say. So what is all that about?
Well, there's this Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter that's been on there. It's been over there for about three years now, right?
Yeah.
Check it out. Go to NASA. Look at the photos. They say they took photos of the Apollo landing sites. Now, you look at it, right,
that's
and you crap. Can't see anything.
I've seen those. That's not from the – that's from taken from some distance there, right? You can hardly see these little lines in the in
well,
the
I don't think they were that far away. It doesn't make any sense,
well,
does it?
The ones I saw that came in the paper about 6 months ago.
They're blotches.
Ago,
you can't see anything.
Yeah, you can't make it out. But there are telescopes on
technology.
The Earth that have the resolution to take it now. Which
but nobody
do
does.
Orbit, but nobody does.
It doesn't
as
make any sense.
Hubble, right? Hubble's in outer space.
Yeah.
Not past the Valon radiation belt, I might add, because the delicate equipment probably fry itself going through there. But it never turns itself towards the moon to take some shots. It would only take one shot to shut us all up. You know, indeed. We just want to see the buggy and you know, some of, you know, yeah. You know, Neil's left all this stuff up there, as you
yeah,
know,
gear.
And Buzzy Boy. You yeah. know, Buzz Aldrin out of, you know, out of Toy Story, which is Buzz Lightyear. You know, you've got to love that, that thing where he's found out he's a toy, he's very depressed, and he flies off the of this table or something, or rather trying to believe he's a toy, and just smashes on
yeah.
the ground, which is
great movie, by the way.
Hollywood's piss take at, of course, Buzz Aldrin, who is Buzz Lightyear, and the fact that he can't fly. He wasn't a superhero, who's just a toy.
But look, the LRO is the latest technology, and it was designed to map the moon. So if the LRO can't take high-resolution photographs of the gear that's on there, nothing can, right?
If the LRO can't do it. We can't take a photo. Not only have we not been back in 50 years, we can't take a bloody photo.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Come on.
I mean, I've seen Google. Look, come Google Earth, on. Right? Google Earth, you can see cars
when
and you can even
up
see 75 people.
Years? When I die, if I get to 100, right, and we still haven't been there, can we safely say I've won? Do I win the bet? Can I put a sports? I'd love to start a betting organisation called ConBet, conspiracy betting, ConBet, and you can
good
bet
one.
On conspiracies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'd like to put a serious wager on we didn't go to the moon, but I'd just like to have some time frame when that comes up. Like, surely before I go to, you know, my deathbed in another 40, 50 years,
yeah.
I should be able to claim if they have not got irrefutable proof within 20 years, which will be, you know. Come on.
Yeah.
20 years. It's nearly 50. I mean, I would have thought 50 that had irrefutable proof, but after 50 years, still no irrefutable proof? Surely after 60 or 70, and I should be able to win big. I mean, what would we pay on that? I mean, if we could bet against the populace, the sheeple.
That's a good idea.
Fantastic.
It's a good idea. I think we should do it. In fact, you could have your con bet on a variety of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
9/11, of course, would be another clear.
No-brainer. How about people are still questioning 9/11?
In the couple of minutes we have left, I mean, Australia is still occupying Afghanistan, you know, because the bad people there,
the baddies taking the $200 billion worth of heroin out of there.
They were responsible for 9/11.
All around the world.
Yeah.
Those baddies.
And we're still there. Four Australians were killed last week. Two of them allegedly were killed in a helicopter accident. Three of them were killed in a insurgency attack, but an insider attack, right? That's when the Afghans that they're training turn the guns on the trainers. And then, of course, the Australian went on a reprisal. There was a reprisal attack, and that was billed in the media as a standard operation. Well, they went and killed three Afghanis. But this is what we're up to. This is what Australia is up to in Afghanistan, still 10 years after September 11.
It's a heroin production. It's $200 billion, just to give you some understanding, that Telstra's $25 billion a year, turning over $2.5 billion, $3 billion in net profit. These guys are turning over essentially $200 billion in net profit a year on a 90% of the heroin drug trade out of a country that wasn't exporting anything until they got there.
Well, look, let's open up the betting program on 9/11, moon landings. And we will
drug trade out of Afghanistan.
Make some serious money out of it, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's been a great idea.
I hope you've enjoyed our freeform discussion tonight. If you've got any thoughts or ideas, any suggestions for how we might tackle this question on a future show, please go ahead. And if you think I'm an idiot, say so. I don't mind. You know, I feel stupid in this context. Anyway. You're with Truth News Radio. Please stay with us for hour two. A lot of good news and analysis coming.